Hello, and nice to be back. I tend to talk about multiple topics, and they are related to climate. Sometimes they go down a vertical, and we start talking about the rabbit hole, as the expression goes. And sometimes I'll talk about more technology, and sometimes I'll talk about beautiful facts of the ocean. Sometimes I'll talk about how people are taking care of the ocean by their passion, and so on. Today, I'm going to be a little closer to the topic of how the oceans are absorbing the heat, resulting from emissions produced by burning fossil fuels. And it's an article I found in the conversation.com or dot, yes, that's right, dot com. And every once in a while, there's an article. And by articulate, I mean that I'm able to be read from beginning to end without having to pause and read five other articles to be able to understand it. So this article published not too long ago. I'll come back to you with the date in a second. That's right, September 29th, is titled "Shifting ocean currents are pushing more and more heat into the Southern Hemisphere's cooler waters." This was authored by Maninya Rohan, Professor of Oceanography in Sydney, and Yunda Li, Postdoctoral Research Associate. The oceans absorb more than 90% of all extra heat trapped by the emissions we've produced by burning fossil fuels. This heat is enormous. It's as if we exploded an atom bomb underwater every second of every day. The ocean isn't warming at the same rate everywhere. We know the heat is concentrated in the fast, narrow currents that flow along the east coasts of the world's continents and funnel warm water from the tropics down towards the poles. In the southern hemisphere, these currents, known as the Western Boundary Currents, are warming faster than the global average at their southern limits, creating ocean warming hotspots. Until now, we haven't known exactly why. These western boundary currents are particularly important in the southern hemisphere, which is more than 80% ocean compared to just 60% for the northern hemisphere. Our new research has found a vital part of the puzzle. Strong easterly winds in the mid-latitudes are moving south, driving the western boundary currents further south and leading to faster ocean warming in these areas. These streams of warm water are like fast-flowing rivers in the oceans. They flow rapidly in a narrow band along the western side of the world's major ocean basins, passing densely populated coastlines in South Africa, Australia, and Brazil, where hundreds of millions of people live. These currents often play a role in regulating local climates. Think of the most well-known of these currents, the Northern Hemisphere's Gulf Stream, which has for millennia ensured Europe is much warmer than it would otherwise be given its latitude. In the Southern Hemisphere, we have three major subtropical western boundary currents: the Agulhas Current in the Indian Ocean, the East Australian Current in the Pacific Ocean, and the Brazil Current in the Atlantic Ocean. In recent decades, these currents have become hotspots for ocean warming, carrying larger and larger amounts of heat south. Since 1993, the East Australian Current has moved southward at around 33 kilometers per decade, while the Brazil Current is moving south by around 46 kilometers per decade. The currents send heat and moisture into the atmosphere as they flow. In their southernmost reaches, the heat they carry displaces the colder ocean and warms it rapidly. These areas of the ocean are warming 2 to 3 times faster than the global average. As the currents carry more heat energy, they also generate more ocean eddies, large rotating spirals of water spinning off from the main current. If you've looked closely at the way a fast-flowing stream flows, you'll see small eddies forming and dissolving all the time. Why do these eddies matter? Because they're the way heat actually ends up in the cold seas. As the eddies get faster, and more loaded with heat. They act as pathbreakers, carrying heat further south and eventually into the deep ocean. This is why NASA is soon to launch a new satellite to track these eddies, responsible for up to half of all heat transfer to the deep. Our team have a research cruise planned for September next year aboard RV Investigator, Australia's research vessel, to explore eddies under the path of this new satellite. This will shed new light on eddy processes in the warming ocean. Isn't this amazing? They're also offering a separate article revealing ocean currents. And this is one thing about the conversation. They go from article to article and they're all absolutely fantastic. But for now, I'll stick to this one. Western boundary currents are driven by large-scale winds blowing across ocean basins. You might have heard of the trade winds. These are the winds traders and mariners used for centuries to go from east to west. Taking advantage of winds blowing constantly from the southeast across the tropics and subtropics, further south, the strongest winds are the prevailing westerlies, better known by sailors as the Roaring Forties. These westerly winds carry cold fronts and rain and often stray north to dump rain over Australia. These westerlies can change track over time, shifting northwards and southwards depending on a pattern known as the Southern Annular Mode. At present, this belt of strong westerly winds has strengthened and moved southward in what's known as the mode's positive phase. Since 1940, this climate pattern has increasingly favored this positive phase, which tends to bring drier conditions to Australia. When we analyzed changes in the tropical trade winds over the past three decades, we found they too had shifted poleward 18 kilometers per decade since 1993. So what does this mean? The trade winds have been pushed further south while the southern annual mode is increasing. As they move south, they drive the western boundary currents further southward. Even though these currents are carrying ever warmer water southwards from the tropics, they have not actually become stronger. Rather, they've become less stable in their southern regions as they've elongated. As the currents are pushed south, they transfer heat, energy, into the cold seas through chaotic eddies, mixing the warmer water with the cold. These eddies aren't small. They're between 20 and 200 kilometers wide. Western boundary currents have long played a key role in stabilizing our climate by carrying heat southwards and moderating coastal climates. As these currents warp and become less predictable, they will change how heat is distributed, how gases are dissolved in seawater, and how nutrients are spread across the oceans. In turn, this will mean major changes to local weather patterns and marine ecosystems. More intense eddies are likely to warm our coastal oceans, too, by moving warm waters closer to shore. For many people, these currents are out of sight, out of mind. They won't stay that way. As these vital currents change, they will change the lives and livelihoods of hundreds of millions of people who live along the coasts of South Africa, Australia, and Brazil. Now that was a fabulous article. I personally felt I was looking at a map of the planet, and little arrows were designed and with different colors for heat and cold and the subsequent effects. And I think that would make an incredible illustration. I think the text is actually very illustrative. I hope you enjoyed it. Once again, we see that small changes affect and have consequences that affect us all and affect the planet. And I think it reminds me very much of the words of Cousteau towards the end of his career as he was speaking on television. And he said, and he showed a globe. He had a globe to illustrate his point. And he says, we are not really considering things beyond the different problems we have in different parts. I paraphrase. But we should be looking at this as one sole weather organization or system where everything affects everything. I totally butchered his quote, but the idea is nonetheless there. And this article is reminding us how one element influences another. And let's see what comes next. But the confirmation of this and the fact that everyone needs to act towards climate matters and ocean matters right here is what I'm urging to share through this podcast. And thank you very much for listening today. Until the next recording.